We are at time on that. I have one question in terms of the company that contacted you. Is there a proposal on the table, and will the national office act upon it? Is there any action or approval that the board has to give to that, or
well,
is it
there,
not
there
in that posture?
There isn't formal, and again, the approach was to KPFA. But I think it's a vote of confidence, wouldn't you say, that we should explore this, that this is where we should go?
Aye.
Thank you, Wendy. Vote of confidence.
Wendy, was that a motion for us to continue to explore?
Yes.
Developing a relationship with this. And was there a second?
Second.
Was there an objection? Hearing none. Fine. So, Mary, that's a motion of the board that this, could you identify?
Cellspin.
Okay.
Good. And I would agree with colleague and director Nia Bediaco that I think we should try to make it as Pacifica-wide as possible, with the caveat that the expertise is not system-wide to be able to do the widgets. But as we move forward, we'll be able to identify maybe one or two people within our entire system that actually can do the widgets, because it's a little bit complicated and you have to have a 21st century skill set.
They approach KPFA right now, but we want to do it system-wide.
I think it should be Pacifica-branded.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much, Nicole, for your always electrifying and sobering information. Question?
I know that there's been some question about the status of AudioPort and upgrading it. Would you talk about that, please?
Yeah. We have to, excuse me, we have to move to extend for 5 minutes. Okay. Second? Opposition?
Second?
No opposition? Nicole?
Yes. Apparently, AFIA, I didn't realize this, but it takes a consultant to expand AudioPort. I thought we had the resident expertise. But it's going to cost $3,000, and hopefully that's something that there'll be money available. Right now, AudioPort is stable. It serves as it does. In order to expand that, though, I think the usage actually was so that other community networks, which are being formed, could then go into AudioPort and fully expand it, et cetera. That's a $3,000 ticket item. So hopefully that there will be some money in order to expand AudioPort to its final iteration. But there are also other things that are available. I don't know if you, running your station, have ever looked at PRX, the public radio exchange, but that's also a tool that's out there that stations can use, all non-com stations. And that, too, that's a little easier to use than AudioPort. But AudioPort, when the money is available, unfortunately, I didn't realize that we needed consultants in order to do that, but we do, will be expanded.
Could I just follow up, Madam Chair, please?
Yes.
And that is, in light of the fact that affiliates are being asked to increase our rates if that upgrade is being budgeted with the increase.
No, the increase, I believe, was just, it's a 10% increase, and you all have to understand that, you know, the average income is about $500 most stations pay, so that's a $50 increase annually. That's just going to cover the increases in expenses, such as for Democracy Now, their share of that, the satellite distribution for Democracy Now, that some stations take it off a different satellite system, et cetera, and that's part of our contract with AMI as well. So some of that is just spread out to be able to cover, because the revenue has not covered all the expenses. It's the hope that perhaps some of that increase, although I have not seen the new contracts and I haven't been briefed yet on, you know, exactly actually what the bottom line will look like if all stations do a 10% increase, and how much extra revenue that actually brings in yet, because none of that's been solidified. But certainly, if it can cover expenses and then also be used against the AudioPort, absolutely.
Okay. Doc and Margaret are the last comments I'm going to take on this particular segment.
Okay. First of all, thank you so much. I always get very excited when I hear your reports, because they sound like we are taking a step forward. I am excited about the cell phone stuff because I'm watching young people do all kinds of things, and even people who are young like me learning how to do all kinds of things with stuff in our hand. And we need to be a part of that. So I'm very excited about that. And thank you all very much also for the coverage on the conventions. And I did listen, and I sent it to everybody I could think of, even over in Baghdad. And they were appreciative, too. So Pacifica is able to increase its footprint. When I look at the report that Nathan did, I am very bothered by what the numbers say. Because when I look at KPFTs, I realize that, you know, they evacuated 1.5 million people out of the city. Most of them would have had a radio, at least, and we weren't present.
Mm-mm.
And some of them may have found someplace else to be.
They did.
And they may stay there by the time we get back on the air. That is a really big concern. If we're going to grow, we have to increase our listener base. And I, you know, I'm really concerned with this budgetary place where we are right now, how we're going to be able to do that.
If I can speak just a little bit, I gave one board member a concept, I hope, which is you have to contract in order to expand. And this is a natural evolution in business, in nature, and in nonprofits. So you really have to look with an eye towards that as you either thumbs up or thumbs down these budgets and as you move forward with how you approach your finances. With regard to a rapid response team, when it looked like that Ike was going to hit New Orleans or whatever the first storm was, it was going to hit New Orleans, which got Bush out of the RNC. I sat down with the FSRN team because we were doing back-to-back. We had traveled together from the DNC to the RNC. And they said, look, we can send out somebody who had covered Katrina to New Orleans. But, you know, we don't have the money to do that. So I volunteered $200, which would have helped this reporter who was coming out on their own frequent flyer miles, et cetera, to be in New Orleans. But without a collaborative spirit in Pacifica, without an ability to say, you know what, we're not going to make a judgment on your editorial stance and say, well, we're the only ones that can do news our Pacifica way, which is the mindset I've run into everywhere. Without lowering that, we can't make the kind of collaborations we need to make nationwide and globally for a rapid response team in place. Because that's what needs to be constructed, is a rapid response team. Because they did go to another station in Houston, the NPR member station.
Okay, Margaret.
Yeah, thanks, Nicole. I ditto Doc's, you know, comments. Very, very useful. And Nathan's work in putting this together. It's the first time I've seen this kind of information with this clarity, and it's much appreciated, and I'm sure will help us as we're looking at programming. And in I see our GM looking at the GM report from KPFK is talking about tripling our listenership, which I think is wonderful. Two things. One, I was very interested to see that Informativo Pacifica has strong support. That's one of our Spanish language programs. You know, there was a lot of resistance to Spanish language programming. And I think still, even though the show is really a national and international show, I think there's some Pacifica stations, from what I understand, that are still not carrying it, which goes back to, you know, how much Pacifica owns our own airwaves. And I wanted just to get your feedback on that. Just also looking at the numbers, I saw that the numbers were pretty strong. I'm looking at K, obviously, for that hour for the Spanish language programming. And it still stays strong at the start of Democracy Now, the 6 o'clock Democracy Now, and then it drops somewhat, and then it starts to rise again around 7:30, 7:45 or so. And I wonder how much, if, you know, exactly what that might be attributed to. Maybe people are leaving for work or
Are you talking
whatever.
AM or PM?
I'm talking AM. I'm sorry. I'm talking AM for the 5:30 hour. The other thing I wanted to ask about, quite apart from that, going back to FSRN, I understand the agreement is going to be signed with FSRN, and I'm glad to hear about an editorial process. I've heard some things on the FSRN international coverage, specifically on Haiti, that were problematic, where stories were either being covered in a way or, you know, groups being interviewed or put forward that on the ground on Haiti are problematic. And I'm hoping that in that editorial process, people who have expertise in different areas could have some input or in consulting. I mean, that happens to me. If I want to cover something in Bolivia, you know, I might contact somebody who covers it regularly and say, what's up? You know, who are these people? And I find that there's that lack of communication with FSRN, and so something is being put forward, in at least in relation to Haiti, that's problematic. I've heard a couple of times. So I'm just hoping that in this editorial process that some of that could be clarified.
Right. Well, hopefully you set up the channels, which is give your feedback to the news director, who then brings it to that monthly and or weekly meeting to be able to say, hey, here's some feedback, and here are the better, you know, contacts. Let me put some contacts out on the table, et cetera. Let's not forget that FSRN is its own 501c3, et cetera, et cetera. So it's a delicate relationship, but that's why I've tried to put into place a way from the people who do it, in the news departments, to be able to exchange. And then for you, for example, as a programmer, to be able to say, hey, please make sure FSRN is aware of this, because with their coverage of Haiti, et cetera. To Informativo, here's the deal. I, knowing people's radio habits, probably what happens is when they get in their cars in the morning, there's a lot to choose from. They want to know that the world is still spinning. They want to be able to know what time it is without looking at their clock or their cell phone. Other radio, whether it's commercial or non-commercial, is so consistent that they're able to know that. Oh, I know if I hear this, I know what time it is. I know I got to get the kids off, whatever, whatever, whatever. Oh, I'm going to be 20 minutes late to work because I just heard this segment and I know what time on the clock it is. Consistency is everything in radio.
So what
I discovered at the conventions even, we don't do clocks. We don't even publish a clock for our programming. And it was unbelievable. It's like this total denial. Oh, well, no, we can't do that. We can't cut away of 58.2 and let those stations that don't want to carry the third hour of the convention coverage do that because, you know, somebody may have something important to say. Oh, really? Well, what they do is they make sure they squish it down. They make sure that stations can do an ID. They make sure that those stations that want to bail out and can cut to other programming have a hard clock because radio is an immediate medium and it runs by a clock, unlike baseball. So, you know, we don't even publish program clocks. That could be something just as a mindset, just as a concept that could be required of all programmers. Sketch out your clock. When are your breaks? When is the board op going to know when to pot down and when they can do a station ID and when they can't? I mean, this is like standard operating procedure. A couple of other points about Informativo. No, the other stations don't carry it, and not many affiliates carry it at all. There's less than 9 stations overall carrying Informativo. It has not been a huge success with regards to other stations picking it up at all, whether affiliate or our own. You know, this is part of the bifurcation of audience, which is you can't tell one audience to come and another audience to go away. And you have to do some marketing behind it. Now, the largest growing radio listening audience is the Spanish language audience. Because when they come as new arrivals, it's something that's immediate, it's cheap to get, everybody has a radio. I believe that we should be collaborating with Radio Bilingüe, especially in California. Bilingüe is a long-time program production company. They have 5 stations in the middle of California. They do a great show, Línea Abierto, which is in both Spanish and English. they have really set the model and the level for being able to do in-language programming that doesn't completely alienate your English language listeners and at the same time brings in Spanish language listeners, and not just first generation, not just new arrivals, but second and third generation, where the language is carried over. That's what I mean about the collaborations. You could be collaborating with La Opinion in Los Angeles, which is the largest daily circulated English, Spanish language daily in the country. Collaborate with them. Get one of their reporters on, who can then maybe have a weekly commentary in both Spanish and English. Get it on the web. So lots of availabilities, but I would definitely recommend collaborating with Bilingue and using them as a partner. They want that Los Angeles market. It would expand our reach within Central California. And they're really, you know, they're the organization of record in both commercial and non-commercial, well, certainly in non-commercial broadcasting, for really doing amazing service to the Spanish language community. And they're on in Mexico quite a bit.
Is there anything in the FSRN contract that has to be discussed in executive session?
It's really a memo of understanding, and I don't see what has to be discussed in executive session.
Does it alter the current agreement? Because I was reminded by Corporate Foundation Council that any contract needs board approval.
Well, first of all, there is no standing current contract. Okay. That turned into nothing many, many months ago. What it seemed like the biggest stumbling block was the extra money that was being taken out of all the stations' budgets. And that has been scrolled back to just the MPPAG amount, which when I took a touch base with all the stations and as we were crafting the budgets, stations were fine with that. So this is really a memo of understanding. If it should be with an eye to, I mean, if there's anything more official, then let's pole vault it up to a contract. But that's not been my discussions with the FSRN team.
So what I am going to ask, if the board will indulge me, is that Foundation Council review that.
Mm-hmm.
And then he can come back this later today or tomorrow or Sunday, and if board approval is needed, that he present to the board that element that needs to be addressed by the board for approval. If that's okay, and then I'd like to move on. I'm sorry, Sarva, I forgot I wanted to call on you.
I'd just like a couple of minutes to ask a couple of questions.
Please, I'm sorry. Go ahead. And I need a motion to extend by 5 minutes. Second. Any objections? Seeing none. Go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, Madam Executive Director.
Madam.
I've looked at these graphs and for quite a few times, and I have some concerns. And my concerns is when I'm looking at average AQH, I don't have a problem when a graph gradually comes down and listenership decreases or increases. I have no problem with that. We can deal with that. But what I noticed from these graphs is there's a very precipitous drop within the last year, a very drastic drop.
Mm-hmm.
And my question to you is, have you looked at what you think are some of the reasons that are causing that? Because over the past history, it's not showing like that. But within the last year, especially for KINT, very precipitous drop. Could you shed some light on that?
Well, that's a good observation, Sarv. And there's a precipitous drop actually throughout the area. I think part of that is PPM. And Nathan, I'll let you respond as well. Part of that is the PPM, although A doesn't have that. Part of that is just irrelevant programming and no changes. And you have markets that are very sophisticated, very media savvy, very plugged into all kinds of iterations of media. And if they don't hear the change and they're not being, it's not relevant to them, oh, well. I mean, there is power in off. And I exercise it all the time, off. So, Nathan, perhaps you could also shed some light.
I was just going to reiterate a few of the what you said about PPM. Part of it is the PPM. If you look at the AQH graph, in particular AQH there being average quarter hour, it's a steady decline, and then in the last year a steep decline. It would continue to be a steady decline if it were all diary surveys. I actually ran those numbers as well, and it's still a decrease. It's not as precipitous looking, but when you switch to PPM, you lose a lot of AQH. Every station, commercial and non-commercial, has lost a lot of AQH when they switch to PPM. They tended to not lose QM. They've tended to grow QM. We've not done that when we made the switch, but c'est la vie. I think in addition to the PPM, though, I mean, we are still seeing a drop in AQH, and that is a factor of our stations and our markets and the media landscape we're in, with people migrating to online, with people migrating to other radio stations, with people just not listening as much. Even with steady QMs at some stations, the AQH continues to slide, which means that, yeah, the same number of people are tuning in, but they're not tuning in as much. So.
Sure. And just one more, just follow.
Sure.
Up.
Sure, yeah.
And also I notice here conclusions, and there are four conclusions that the report has come up with. Our audience is listening to us less. We are really hunting for afternoon listeners. We are not keeping enough of our news and information listeners. We have some success with weekend music listeners, but now, what has been done here to take care of these four observations?
Well, sir, that's the question of the hour and will be the question of the year, which is what has been done. Now, when we go into executive session, I can at least put forward, you know, one thing we've clinched, and I hope the stations adopt it as a program strategy. I think it will bring listeners and visibility, and certainly will expand the kind of coverage we're able to do with regard to global and bringing in other voices. You know, how can you know, the music issue, the fact that we have not replicated a democracy now, the fact that, you know, we haven't taken advantage of the kind of, and really substantive, y'all have put a lot of money into democracy now, not only when you birthed it, but afterwards, and not looking at that as a model, and saying, all right, obviously there's a huge pull here. Obviously this is a type of program that resonates with people. I don't think you ride herd enough on your news departments. I think your news departments are pretty laid back. And I think that there's a whole different way of doing news that really needs to be brought to the fore, because people are hungry for local news. Then it's not covered well, especially with the demise of print. How many newspapers have gone under? There's a total demise. But nobody in Pacifica has read those signs out there and said, look what's going on in print. A, if we don't quickly have a more significant footprint online with something like we did with Election 411, where you could listen, you could watch, you could blog, you could comment, everything there in that portal, that aggregator. That could be replicated over and over and over again. But it takes a will, and it takes a focus of resources, and those resources have to be reallocated away from the individuals, away from how business was done in the past, you know, away from the feeling of, well, I own my chair and that's it, you know, to, no, it's about service, and we're going to reallocate resources to provide a service. If we need more expertise with regard to all things digital, to making the widgets, we have to allocate some resources to get that expertise in.
Okay, and who just asked me for, oh, I'm sorry, Nia.
Hi, Nicole. Thanks for your report. I have a question. I don't know, I guess for you and Nathan. Now, iPod was born in 03 or 04. So I understand that based on Arbitron that the listenership is going down. But I think we also need to look at our own archives. I can speak for BAI. People are listening differently. And when we did an analysis last year, we realized that there are a lot of people who are listening on the archive. So in addition to the Arbitron, I think we should also look in-house to see how people are listening to us on the archives. That could be the explanation for the precipitous downturn, as you mentioned.
Right. I'm not sure, Nia, just to tell you the truth, that all the measurements or the capacity or the expertise to actually measure station by station is sound with regards to that measurement. And one of the things about measuring online is being able to ferret out what's a unique hit,
yeah,
and what are friends listening or that person listening, et cetera, et cetera. I thought I had gotten a lot more hits on the Amy is Detained. But, you know, I realized that I was going 10 times a day to see how many people were hitting it. And then luckily, when Manicheri and KPFA actually did the stats on unique listeners, viewers, I saw the people that had visited that go down, because it was actually separated out as to how many of our people were just hitting, and how many actual unique viewers or downloads there are.
Yeah. Well, former board member Lisa Davis is very, very good at that. So I think maybe she could talk with you offline on that. And I think it's worthwhile looking at.
Absolutely.
It will also capture the unique hits and how long people are staying there. Thanks.
Thank you, Nia.
All right. Point of information and then AC.
When we go into executive session, can we talk in more detail about... Can we talk in more detail about the specifics of resources in terms of where stations are? Because you're talking about news departments and things like that, and I don't really want to bring that into this discussion.
Exactly right. I think that dovetails into our discussions tomorrow, okay, which is when I set the framing for that, because I don't think we can separate out those issues, that we need to see it as a whole and have that in our minds as we approach the budgets.
Okay. Folks, AC, I'm sorry. AC, you had one comment.
Yeah, I just wanted to know, in terms of SSRN, first of all, I want to congratulate your report. The other thing is that, as you were talking about...
AC, your microphone is either not on.
You were talking about sign-in next week. I wondered if there had been some discussion with them about their relationship with Pacific Health. Ever since I can remember, at least 10 years ago, however long I can remember, but they've acted somewhat independently. Not wanting to even have a negotiation or a relationship with Pacific Health. And I'm wondering if that's going to be changed.
Well, quite frankly, AC, it's been the opposite, at least from what I understand. FSRN is its own 501c3. It is not 10 years old. It was born out of the brouhaha or the struggle. They've been turned away at certain stations. They have not been allowed. The only two stations that allow them the infrastructure support, which I actually had to build in to the negotiation, is KPFK and KPFA, where they actually produce it, and there's infrastructure support, and there's a lot of, you know, there's some crossover and collegiality, et cetera. The other stations, they've been pushed away, even though they'll hack up the newscast, fold it into their own newscast, sometimes not even credit it, and voila. And yet they've been pushed out. So really, and I'm not so sure that folding in and becoming part of Pacifica is in favor of FSRN. We don't put out $500,000. That's not how much the MPEG money is, and that is actually from CPB, not from our listeners. We put more out to Democracy Now! Than $500,000, and that comes from the listeners. So part of what I tried to ameliorate in this agreement was the beginning of that editorial process. But it shouldn't come from management, because management oftentimes is the one that it's pushed out. So really it needs to come from news directors who use it, who also get the feedback, who understand about coverage, and begin to have that conversation about how can we collaborate, what should we be covering, what isn't being covered, or, you know, I like the fact now you're given a run sheet, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Can we cross over and use various infrastructure or whatever? You have to begin to build that editorial relationship before, because the governance, they are hands-off on. A lot of people don't want to collaborate with us because of the governance situation. And they're afraid that it will require a collaboration on the governance level. So I've tried to address that in this memo of understanding, in the hopes that it will start that, again, conversation about what we should be covering, what isn't, what works during the newscast, what doesn't. And maybe from that, they can birth a national rapid response team as a collaboration between FSRN, our affiliates who have the capacity to do such a thing, and Pacifica, five stations. Because at that point, we've got three stakeholders we can bring to cover a rather large part of this continent on strapped resources.
AC, Dan has the memorandum of understanding that Nicole brought to the table. We can revisit it before the meeting adjourns on Sunday. We're 45 minutes late, surprisingly enough. I'm going to end this session